A Rogue Valley-based program designed to prevent drug overdose deaths recently won an award for its work. Max's mission is named for Max Pinsky, who died of a drug overdose several years ago. His parents, Julia and David, dedicated themselves to preventing future overdoses, so they formed the program to hand out doses of naloxone, which can bring a person back from an overdose. Let's learn more about the program, the award, and the overall picture of efforts to curb drug abuse in Oregon. Julia Pinsky and David Pinsky, welcome to the studio here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. We're very happy to be here.
Yes, we are.
Good to have you both here. We also are joined by Tony Vezina, who is the co-chair of Oregon Recovers and the executive director of 4D Recovery in Portland. Tony, welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, good to have you all here. Julia, start with you. How much did you know before Max died about either his drug use or abuse or addiction generally?
We knew about his drug use. He hadn't been actually using heroin for that long, but we were certainly aware of that. But it was there was nowhere near the awareness that there is now. You know, it's one of those, if you could go back and knew then what we know now, perhaps things would be very different. And laws have changed. The way drug use is treated has changed. Access to treatment has changed so much in that period, although it still has a very long way to go.
Give us an example of a law that changed.
Well, that anybody can carry naloxone now, that you can go to a pharmacy and ask that pharmacist for naloxone, and that pharmacist can, if he or she chooses, write a prescription for you and bill your insurance, or you can pay for it with, you know, yourself. So that's a major change. Plus, training is no longer mandatory. So, of course, we do train because we want people to know how to respond in an overdose and be able to identify it and not panic or miss it, if you like. But legally, training is not necessary, which really has allowed a lot more people to carry it and to give it to other people. So we are making inroads.
Do you have numbers on how many doses you've handed out, how many people you've trained since you began Max's mission?
Thousands and thousands of people, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We've been all around the state, so we've probably given out somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000 doses, about 3,000 doses of naloxone. We've probably trained more like 4,000 people. But we still know that there's people that don't hear about it, don't know about it, and don't realize that in that one happening, that one incident, if they had it in their bathroom cabinet, they could save a life.
So, David, describe the process of discovery. I mean, it sounds like you guys have learned a lot more than you ever wanted to know, I gather, but you've learned a great deal.
Well, when we started, here's the process. Max passed away in 2013. We didn't know what to do. Julia did a bunch of research. She connected with Dr. Jim Shames, the Jackson County health officer, and he mentioned to her about naloxone. We had no idea what it was. I imagine if we had
it. I did then. I asked him about naloxone.
Right.
And he invited me to a naloxone work group, which still exists, that meets every month, to further the spread of naloxone medically, but also for lay people. So throughout many counties.
So Julia looks at me and says, we have to do something. So I'm fairly clever at setting up stuff. So we started a nonprofit. You know, I went online, I learned what to do. We sent the stuff to the IRS. We got accepted right away. So the nonprofit Max's Mission was formed. What were we going to call it? And alliteration is good. Max's Mission, everybody remembers that. So here, Max's Mission is established. We started a GoFundMe. We had a couple of small fundraisers. We bought some Narcan from Adapt Pharma because we were a nonprofit. We had the number. We could get the nonprofit rate, and we started giving them out. We had a friend who was a former board member who said, why don't you do a community meeting? So we said, okay, what are we going to do? So we got a doctor. We got Dr. Shames. We got a clinical pharmacist, our friend Mark Cantor. We got law enforcement and talked about the overdose, how to at least try to stem the tide of the overdoses that were happening, much greater than even the numbers now in Jackson County. And there we go. We show training films, a couple of training films, and we give out naloxone. That's about it, you know.
When you talk about Narcan, Narcan and naloxone are one of the same?
So naloxone is the drug. Narcan, naloxone always used to be called Narcan, and then Adapt Pharma created the nasal form of naloxone, and they patented that name. So they took that name and called it Narcan. It was a bit like Kleenex, you know, like
oh,
paper
Kleenex
tissues,
and
Kleenex
right,
and
yeah.
tissues. So for a lot of people, they still think of naloxone being Narcan, but it is one of those things that if you start to use the trade name or for the to encapsulate it all, that allows them, to be honest, to keep the price rather high. And the retail price, the average retail price for a box of two doses is
$150. $150 for two doses.
Yes, which is how it comes.
All right, you don't get a single set.
No,
for 75 or something like that.
No, you have to, but you have to get a box, and a box is two doses. To be honest, because in some cases you are going to need two doses, and in some cases now with the presence of fentanyl, you may well need more than two doses.
It takes that much. So
it
basically, what's happening is that naloxone, as I understand it, interferes with the opioid receptors in the brain.
It's it's what they call an opioid antagonist. We have receptors throughout our body and in the brain, and very basically, what it does, Narcan, it goes into the nose. Someone doesn't have to be breathing. It comes along. It pushes the opioids off the receptors in the brain and says, I'm here now, and allows breathing to be restored, which is what opioids do. They suppress breathing. But it only lasts for about 30 to 45 minutes.
The simple answer to your question is Narcan is the nasal spray and naloxone is the drug, given many different ways mostly injectable in small little vials, intramuscular. It's not in the veins. It's in a big muscle in the buttocks or in the shoulder or so on and so forth.
We are talking about Max's mission with its founders, David and Julia Pinsky, who have been handing out naloxone doses around Southern Oregon for several years now since they formed the organization. Also on the line, Tony Vezina, Executive Director of 4D Recovery in Portland and the co-chair of Oregon Recovers. Questions, comments about the epidemic of opioid abuse, overuse, and overdose deaths in the state. Welcome here at the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tony, thanks for your patience. Tell us a bit about Oregon Recovers and what it is all about.
Yeah, first let me just thank you guys for Max's mission, for doing that work. You know, I'm a person in long-term recovery, and for me that means I haven't used any drugs or alcohol in a little over 7 years, and my, you know, primary drug of choice was heroin, and I've had Narcan bring me back to life, so I'm really grateful for that. So Oregon Recovers is a statewide coalition of people in recovery and our friends and allies, you know, and that's family members, that's healthcare professionals, that's health providers, that's the addiction workforce, the criminal justice system, you know, everybody. And about 3 years ago, some people in recovery got together and we said, you know, why is it that Oregon has one of the most progressive electorates in the country? And according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, which is the largest national survey on mental health and substance use, why is Oregon ranked near the very top? I think we're about fourth in addiction prevalence. And then, you know, on the other end, we're 50th in access to treatment. Why is that? And why do five people die every day from alcohol in Oregon and two or three people die every day from drugs? You know, why is that? And so we started organizing, and we held a big rally down in downtown Portland in Chemensky Park. And really we just wanted to start a conversation and see if there was interest to mobilizing the community. And over 1,000 people turned out that first rally. And we were able to pull on elected leaders and, you know, from the legislature. And since then, you know, we've been able to get addiction declared a public health crisis by Kate Brown. We've been working with the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission to develop a strategic plan. We've been developing our grassroots power throughout the state. And we're doing all of this to do two things. We want to implement a strategic plan to address the addiction epidemic in Oregon. And the way that we are going to measure its success is by reducing the addiction rate. Right now we're about 9.6%. We want to go down to about 5-6% in the next 5 years. And then we want to increase the recovery rate. And no state in America knows what the recovery rate is. And I think that in itself exemplifies the stigma that people don't recover. You know, if you're not even tracking the recovery rate, then how can you say that you believe in addiction treatment and believe in recovery?
So, Tony, do you feel like society gives up on people who get addicted to drugs?
Yeah, I do. And I think that people don't understand addiction as a health disorder and a disease. And then they also, like, don't hear about recovery because of the stigma. So, you know, people in recovery, you know, they kind of, like, hit out, you know, in the last 50 years. You know, everybody's kind of hidden, like, 12-step meetings and stuff, and people haven't been very public because of the stigma, because they don't want to not get a job, they don't want to not get a loan on a house, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's really been detrimental to our society because, I mean, we all know addiction affects every part, right? Every part of society, the criminal justice system, health care, you know, parenting, our community, crime, loss in economic productivity. You know, every aspect of our society is affected by addiction, but there hasn't been a coordinated effort to fix it. And so that's what Oregon Recovers is doing.
To pull the whole pieces together. Okay, so it includes lots of organizations like Max's Mission. Where do you, Julia Pinsky, get the supplies of naloxone? You're purchasing them, it sounds like.
Well, we do. We purchase them. We receive donations and grants to be able to purchase them. We collaborate with a lot of other organizations. We collaborate with HIV Alliance. We collaborate with Grants Pass Treatment Center and other Oregon Recovery Treatment Centers. We collaborate with different organizations out there. So it's a bit of a miracle, to be honest. If you thought about how much it costs and how we would ever make this happen, we would never have done it. But it's always the biggest expense in the room because Narcan and naloxone is so expensive generally. But it happens. So we could do with more because we would like to do more, and we certainly know, you know, we're still giving it out to police departments because that is not funded. I believe that may come up with the legislature next year. You know, police departments in Oregon are not fully funded to have naloxone, and so you know, there's plenty of counties out there that still don't have naloxone for their emergency services. We give it out to a lot of emergency services as well. We're happy. Of course, we're very happy to do that. But we still, as a state, just as in recovery, we have met so many amazing people in recovery who help us to do what we do, who are so passionate and bring so much to the table. But there is still a long way to go for everybody.
You mentioned 3,000 doses you estimate having given out so far, and maybe trained 4,000 people. What about successes? I mean, are you aware of people using the doses?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yes, we know that they've been used in all sorts of scenarios. In homes where people, say, haven't used for a month, and then they've used in public places, in hotel restrooms, in public restrooms, in parks, yes.
So do we know dozens, do hundreds? I mean, do you have a figure?
Well, see, the problem is, even though when we distribute free doses of Narcan and we have our own little kit with our own little phone number on it, we say, if you use it, please let us know. We only hear second and third hand, but I can tell you, every year we have the International Overdose Awareness Day kind of remembrance kind of thing where we get all the community groups together, treatment centers, and in Pear Blossom Park in Medford. And we know specifically from the 100 or so doses we gave out last year, there was at least 5 specific saves directly related to that. So that's, you know, that's a pretty good, that's a 5% usage rate, save rate, which is pretty amazing.
David and Julia Pinsky are the founders of Max's Mission, which is endeavoring to hand out naloxone doses around Southern Oregon to make sure that people don't die of drug overdoses, as their son Max did, hence the name Max's Mission. We also have with us Tony Vezina, the executive director of 4D Recovery in Portland and the co-chair of the coalition called Oregon Recovers. You can join us on the exchange with your thoughts about how we handle drug use and abuse and all the other issues we have going on. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tony, did I hear you say that you know what a Narcan dose feels like?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it saved my life.
And I understand it beats dying, but it's a pretty rough process.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the issues with Narcan is that it wakes people up. So it's good, but it brings you into withdrawal. And so, if I could develop a system, we'd have Narcan available to everybody, and then sorry, somebody's knocking on my door.
Okay.
Narcan available to everybody, and then after people were dosed, they would be given the opportunity to go directly to treatment. I mean, one of the big issues in Oregon is that people have to wait for treatment 30 days, 6 weeks sometimes, and it's when people want to change, they need to access the services they need immediately. And if they need them two or three times, that's fine, because, you know, when you're getting into recovery, quitting and then going back and using again, that's normal. And, I would challenge everybody to think about their own lives and things they've tried to change about their lives. I'm not going to eat sugar anymore, or I'm not going to smoke, or I'm going to exercise. It takes a few chances to change. And so, you know, what we need to have is a system that is responsive to people when they want to change. If I had a heart attack right now, I wouldn't have to fill out some paperwork, do a screening for my insurance to go to the hospital. Someone would come get me and take me to the hospital, and I would get the care I needed. And if I had another heart attack, it would happen again. And so we have to have a paradigm shift around addiction.
So would we need more treatment beds specific to addiction?
Exactly.
Or would we need more hospital beds devoted to addiction? I mean, all the above?
Yeah, we need a lot of different things. So really what we need is on-demand treatment. So when people want to go, they can go, right? And so that means we need more beds. We need more outpatient services. We need recovery housing. We need places like what I do, which is recovery support. And so I have a recovery community center. People come and go as little or as much as they want to, hang out with other people in recovery, to get a recovery mentor. That kind of helps them figure out their recovery, go to recovery meetings, go to dances, socialize with people in recovery, and they can do that for free as long as they want, because, you know, treatment is kind of the beginning of somebody's recovery journey. And according to the Surgeon General's most recent report on drugs, alcohol, and health, when people reach the 5-year mark of recovery, their likelihood of having a recurrence of use or a relapse drops to 15%. But a lot of times we're only focusing on providing services for people for 30, 60, 90 days, and it's just not enough.
All right, so a very, very short period for sure.
There's a big conversation about immediate response to non-fatal overdoses done with community members, which... there is a movement. When we were at the big drug abuse summit in Atlanta, they mentioned it over and over again. But getting that to happen is the hardest part, because usually the first responders are police, and the people who overdose really don't want law enforcement coming to their house. So there is avenues for people who wind up in the hospital to begin that conversation, but it's still, as Tony said, it's just way short of what needs to happen.
I should point out that this is National Recovery Month, as identified by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, so all sorts of events going on to acknowledge the fact that people do need some help in recovery. We have an email here from LD in Ashland, who says, aside from the issue at hand, it's very important to take a moment and a lesson from Max's beloved parents, David and Julia. In life, tragedy will strike, and when it does, don't sit paralyzed. Take action. This is the way to keep your loved one's spirit alive. Thank you, Julia and David, for your dogged effort effort and bless you in your loss. Sincerely, LD in Ashland.
Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, thank you. It helps. It's cathartic in its own way to do this work, and to and we know that there's so many out there that that can be saved. No one finds treatment unless they can walk in there, but we need so much more.
We had talked very briefly about fentanyl, and Tony, I want to bring you in on this. We only have about 2 minutes left, but the next hour of the exchange is about fentanyl, and the book Fentanyl Inc. reminds us there's a steady progression of drugs, that fentanyl is a concern, but so is heroin. People took heroin because they couldn't get a hold of oxy any longer. How hard is it to reduce the overall consumption of drugs?
God, I mean that's the question we're trying to answer. I mean, with Oregon Recovers, I mean, I don't feel qualified to completely address that individually. I think that's a really complicated, complex question that needs to be addressed by an equally as complex and complicated group of minds. But I think, you know, there's been a lack of an investment in prevention. Like, the prevention system in Oregon is really weak. It isn't strong. I mean, we need after-school programs. We need public education about addiction. We need services on demand. I mean, this is like something that is going to take like years to fix. Like, we can't just like pump up a bunch of one-time funding into naloxone or, you know, medication-assisted treatment. Like, we have to make a serious commitment and overall system that includes prevention, intervention, engagement, treatment on demand, and recovery support services. Because to some degree, it's like we got to heal communities. Mm-hmm. We know that addiction can be generational.
We just a couple seconds left here. If people want to help, they want to have, you know, whatever they can do, they want to help in some way. What's a good place to get a hold of, for example, Oregon Recovers?
Yeah, you can check out our website, www.oregonrecovers.org, our Facebook page at Oregon Recovers. We got a Walk for Recovery in Portland on the 29th. We'd love for everybody to be there. Again, you can find that on our website.
Okay, we are linked to that through our website at jeffexchange.org, and Max's Mission also available on the web. And
indeed, yes, maxsmission.org and a Facebook page, Max's Mission.
So go to maxsmission.org and hit the donate button, because we really do need your help.
Okay. Congratulations on the Oregon Innovation Now Award for Max's Mission.
Thank you so much.
David Pinsky and Julia Pinsky, thank you for joining us from Max's Mission. And from Oregon Recovers, Tony Vizina, thank you for joining us. That's the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.